Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands, jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubicon.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Town Hall. Today, I am super excited to be highlighting Matriarch Foods, and I'm joined by Anna Hammond, founder and CEO, and the brains behind the operation. So, Anna, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So at its core, Matriarch Foods is a product line. You have broths and sauce bases, and they've been made from upcycled ingredients. But before we get into the mission behind the brand, because it's a really unique concept, how did you get into this business? Walk me through your personal and professional roadmap a bit. And then if you could pinpoint, where do you think you sparked your passion for environmental sustainability?
Oh, well, my passion was sparked for environmental sustainability way back in the 1970s. So that really dates me here. But my dad, who was a poet, took me to the first Earth Day celebration and said to me as we were leaving this really big, beautiful festival, Anna, every day should be Earth Day. So I would say my love of nature and, you know, and all things clean and healthy really started in my childhood. Before launching Matriarch, I built a healthy eating program for youth and families living in public housing in New York City. Public housing in New York City houses not the same number of people as live in the city of Atlanta. So it's about the equivalent to the 10th largest city in the United States. So many, many people, and all of whom are looking to eat healthier food, but really encountering a dearth of access to healthy food. You know, you may know New York is full of food deserts, even though, you know, Manhattan is a very dense place. And so that dearth of access, and then compared to all of this excess produce that I saw in the farm program that we also had in upstate New York, and the need for farmers to find extra income streams, really was, you know, one of the main inspirations for launching Matriarch. So to create greater access, you know, out of the excess food that exists all over the world.
So let's talk about the name a little bit, because when I hear the word matriarch, you know, conjures up images of powerful women. And I think of my grandma, Carolyn, when I hear the word. What was your inspiration behind the name and the brand in general?
Yeah, well, I mean, matriarch is definitely inspired by our grandmothers. Both of our grandmothers, or I guess more than one each, obviously, you know, grew up in a time where being thrifty with everything was important. They all lived through wars and, you know, just whatever their circumstances had been, needed to, you know, preserve food and be careful with food. And we always joke with each other that if our grandmothers knew what we were doing, they would just be so confused. Like, why would people throw out this food to begin with? So it's really inspired by the thriftiness of our grandmothers, but also the creativity to kind of make something out of everything. And then the end of our name is spelled ARK, and it's a bit of a play on Noah's Ark, which represents protection and safety, and also, you know, it's the beloved story of a family of people and animals responding to an environmental disaster by preserving one another. And that's something we all most certainly need to be working on together now.
I love that. I also, you know, really connected to what you said about making something out of everything. And, you know, we do talk about a lot of these sustainability buzzwords all the time. And our listeners are primarily young adults who want to do better things for the planet and may not exactly know how to get started or how to get involved. So I did just kind of want to back up a bit. Can you explain the term upcycled? You know, we've had people on before who make purses out of, you know, billboards and things like that. But can you explain the term upcycled as it relates to food waste? What does your process look like?
Yeah, well, first, you know, there are a couple of things. I'll talk a little bit about our process and our supply chain because it's interesting and we're expanding it, and I hope it will be inspirational to others. But also, I am a founding board member of the Upcycled Food Association, and the Upcycled Food Association is a trade organization that is creating a certification process around upcycled foods. And over about a year and a half, partly to use as, you know, to educate consumers about what upcycled ingredients are, we came up with an official definition. And I'm just going to read that to you because it kind of covers all the bases. So upcycled foods use ingredients that otherwise would not have gone to human consumption, are procured and produced using verifiable supply chains, and have a positive impact on the environment. So that's the official definition, but what does that mean? So in our case, we work with small to mid-scale farms and also large-scale farms, in addition to fresh cut facilities, and we aggregate surplus, imperfects, and also fresh cut remnants. What's a fresh cut remnant? So if you go to the grocery store and you buy a packet of celery sticks or carrot sticks, imagine all the vegetable that's not there. That is traditionally getting thrown out. So the tops of celery that have the leaves on it, the bottoms of carrots, the tops of carrots that are pointy, all the carrot peelings, you know, that come off to make sort of a perfectly shaped carrot stick. So and those are, you know, there are massive amounts of remnants that are being sent to landfill. So one facility, for example, produces every week, just in carrot remnants, 100,000 pounds. So it's, you know, it's just massive amounts going to landfill. And as you and your audience probably already know, food waste, you know, when food waste goes to landfill, it creates methane, which is a greenhouse gas 86 times more potent than carbon dioxide, which is also one of the reasons that diverting food waste out of landfill is one of the most impactful environmental activities that you can do. So that's a little bit about our supply chain and the definition of upcycled food.
I saw in one of your cartons, it says, you know, one carton of the vegetable broth concentrate diverts 1 pound of vegetable waste from the landfill. And I am a big believer of you can't manage what you can't measure. And I think that is really amazing marketing and branding. And I did want to talk about your products, the Marquee yeah. 3 products, the vegetable broth concentrate, the beet umami puree, and the carrot puree. How did you decide on these unique flavors specifically?
Yeah, nice question. I think, you know, usually a food business starts out and they have a product that they love or something that they've made, or, you know, let's say it was their grandmother's favorite cookie or their uncle's favorite popcorn recipe. And they're like, oh, I'm going to, you know, make this so everyone can eat it and love it and take it to market. The way we develop our products is quite different from that. And it's really deeply informed by the value proposition of our business, which is diverting vegetables, nutritious vegetables from landfills. So when we first started out, we worked with a group of small farmers in the Portland, Maine food shed, and we also interviewed a number of fresh cut facilities also on the Eastern Seaboard about what their surplus and remnant streams were. So we got lists from both farmers and facilities in what they were throwing out. And we sort of taking those lists, of course, the first thing I saw jumping out at me was carrots, celery, and onions. And what do you make with carrots, celery, and onions? You make vegetable broth. So the first product really was a result of looking at what the problem was. And any, you know, good home chef would do, you know, you look in your refrigerator, what's extra, what haven't I used, or you cut your vegetables for various dishes you're making, you might put your scraps in the freezer. We're doing that just at kind of a massive scale. And then the same with the new products that are in development. They're really based on surplus streams and remnant streams that exist. And now we're working with partners, you know, K-12 schools, hospitals, elder care facilities to sort of test out, you know, different soups and sauces based on recipes that we've developed with the surplus and the remnants.
A lot of those partnerships, I think, are very cool. I love what you're doing to work with schools. And another partnership that you have, it's with one of my favorite networks, 1% for the Planet. We talk about it on here a lot. Talk to me a bit about your partnership with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've known about 1% for the Planet, you know, for as long as Patagonia has been doing that program. And so when we first launched Matriarch, one of our investors had actually worked with 1% and said, oh, you should check them out, and it might be a great partnership for you at some point. So we learned about, you know, what the process was, and we already had a longstanding relationship with Glenwood Center for Food and Farming in upstate New York. And Glenwood is just an amazing powerhouse of people led by Kathleen Finley and Liz Corio, who's their development director. And I had worked with them in my life before Matriarch, let's say, on a number of projects. And so I just called them up and I said, you know, we'd love to partner with you as the beneficiary for our 1%. We're still a startup, so it won't be much to start with, but we hope it will grow. And it's actually, you know, become, not surprisingly, because they're all amazing, they're a really wonderful partnership, I think, for both of us. We've been able to support some of their new endeavors around food boxes and a growing program they have for community food, as well as BIPOC farmer training program. So, you know, I think we're already obviously an impact business, but it's also nice to be kind of in the network and helping a specific, you know, a specific nonprofit that we partner with and that also, you know, are thought partners around some of the work that we're doing.
Everyone on this season, at least, of the town hall is being asked this question, and I find it so fascinating because everybody has a little bit different of an answer, but, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the pandemic. How did Matriarch Foods pivot? What did you guys do during 2020?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like we have to, you know, keep it. It is still very much alive in most parts of the world. I mean, I think in the United States, things are starting to ease up a little bit. You know, today marks the reopening of New York and California, but that is not true in most places, and there's still an enormous amount of suffering. I will say that one thing I feel so strongly about is you know, this increased responsibility that we all have now, having learned what we've learned and having been so much suffering during that time, which is still lasting, is to create better systems and more resiliency around food from things that we've learned, or that even if we already knew they were in existence, more people are aware of, you know, supply chain issues with food and the enormous level of food insecurity, not only in this country, but all over the world. So it's certainly it's just fueled our work even more than we were already fueled. So what happened to Matriarch? We've been in existence for just 3 years. I launched the business in 2018, and you know, and we were making small amounts of product until about the middle of 2019. And then in the fall of 2019, we were able to start commercial production. And we launched our first commercially produced product in March of 2020. So literally the week that COVID shut down everything, all of food service. But we were able to pivot and create a retail carton of the product, which we sold into programs, you know, at a very large discount that were doing food boxes for frontline workers. And also we worked on a project. We had a grant from ReFed, and we put together a partnership with Table to Table, which is a large food distribution hub in northern New Jersey, Aero Farms, Bad Apple Produce, and Hungry Harvest to upcycle 500,000 pounds of vegetables that otherwise would have gone to landfill into a healthy stew for distribution. So we, you know, and through that process, we're able also to prove out that, you know, if you have the means of production, you can produce really great healthy food in a pretty straightforward manner for large distribution, which is a project we are continuing to work on with a couple of cities right now, actually.
Okay, Anna, before I let you go, I did want to play our rapid fire game with you. I'm going to just fire off 10 quick, easy questions, and you answer the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Okay.
They're easy, I promise. Number one, what is one piece of advice you'd give to a budding female entrepreneur?
Find another female entrepreneur to be a mentor.
Number two, what does your morning routine look like?
Well, I am a very early riser. I always have been. So I usually get up around 4:30 or 5. And if the weather's right, I go for a row on the Hudson River. Then I have my coffee, and then I start my day of work.
If you had a talk show, who would your first guest be?
Michelle Obama.
I don't think I've ever asked this question in our rotation of questions before. I have like a bunch that I'm just picking from right now, but it's very fitting for you. What is your favorite soup?
My favorite soup is actually a fava bean soup.
What is the first concert you ever went to?
Neil Young.
What was your first job?
My first job was when I was 7 years old. I packaged hand-painted buttons with my neighbor who had a knitting store, and she hand-painted wooden buttons with a single hair brush with little landscapes.
Where's your favorite vacation spot?
Deer Isle, Maine.
Where do you see Matriarch 5 years down the road?
Matriarch is a global brand creating greater access to healthy food for all people.
What's one thing that's on your bucket list?
Oh, spending as much time as possible with my 3 grandchildren.
What is one piece of life advice that you've received that's really stuck with you?
Life is a series of projects.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
Success means every day making someone else's life a little bit better.
And where can our listeners find your products and find out more about all the awesome work you guys are doing?
Well, you can go to our website at matriarchfoods.com. And if you're an individual buyer, you can buy a product on our website. And we also have a one-for-one program. So if you buy one carton, you are also subsidizing the donation of a product for City Meals on Wheels in New York. If you are a food service director, you can buy a product through Sysco, US Foods, Baldor, or Foodbuy.
Anna, we are so lucky to have these industry influencers and people like you coming on here and, just more importantly, fighting the good fight against food waste. Thank you so much for telling your story today.
Well, thank you. It was absolutely my pleasure. And to all of your listeners, please feel free to reach out. We actually always respond to emails through our website.